It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. My name is Scott Volk, and it's my honor and joy to guest host the show today for my dear friend Michael Brown, who is currently somewhere in Malaysia getting ready to fly home. But it's such a privilege to be here today because we're in the middle of a very, very special time of year on the Jewish calendar, the time of Chanukah, or the Feast of Dedication, and that's what we are going to be talking about today on the show. For the next 2 hours, we're going to have some amazing guests with us on the air to discuss this incredible festival. If you'd like to be part of our discussion, we'd love to have you on the air. Just call us at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. We'd love to have you as part of our discussion, and our topic is going to be related to Israel and Hanukkah. Well, I just returned from Israel last week, and as I was there, people were getting ready for this amazing celebration. You know, it's a time on our calendars where we're preparing for Christmas and the celebration of our Messiah's birth. Whether or not Jesus was actually born on December 25th is certainly debatable, and I'll leave all the debating to my dear friend Dr. Brown. But there was something very, very significant that happened on the 25th day of Kislev, 165 BC, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. It's the Feast of Dedication. It's the Feast of Hanukkah. And I just want to start off by saying this. There would be no Christmas if there was no Hanukkah. There has been a diabolical plot to wipe Israel off the map since the Lord chose Israel to be his people many, many years ago. There's an incredible scripture that I'd like to read from you just to start off our show today from the book of Esther, chapter 3. Listen to this remarkable statement. This statement was made by Haman to the king, and Haman was a man who wanted to see Israel destroyed and annihilated. Esther, chapter 3, verse 8. There's a certain people scattered and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from those of all other people, and they do not observe the king's laws. So it is not in the king's interest to let them remain. If it is pleasing to the king, let it be decreed that they be destroyed. Destroyed? Can you imagine that? What is so significant about the people of Israel and the Jewish people that throughout history they would be marked as a people set for destruction? That was written about 2,500 years ago. Listen to these words from the Hamas Charter that was written just a little over 25 years ago. Israel will exist and continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it, just as it obliterated others before it. Further on in Article 7, it reads, "The day of judgment will not come until Muslims fight Jews and kill them." So I have this question for you. Have you ever wondered why, from Haman to Hamas, there's been an undeniable, diabolical plot to wipe Israel off the face of the earth? Friends, we are living in incredible times. Israel is being marginalized in the press. It's been marginalized throughout history. And today, as we discuss the Feast of Hanukkah, the Feast of the Feast of Dedication and the celebration of Hanukkah, we're going to talk about why Israel is so important to God and how God miraculously has preserved his people throughout history. Join us. We're going to be joining with David Brickner, the director of Jews for Jesus, an amazing leader with an incredible testimony. And he's going to share with us what Hanukkah means to him. Friends, feel free to join us after the break. Call in 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm glad to be with you today and look forward to a great show together.
God of light, hear
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So great to have you with us today, friends. This is Scott Volk sitting in for Dr. Michael Brown, who's currently somewhere in Malaysia, getting ready to fly back to the United States. And it's an absolute joy to be hosting the show for him today. Our topic today is Hanukkah. And as I asked before we left on that first break, have you ever wondered why there's been a diabolical plot from Haman to Hamas to see Israel utterly and completely wiped off the map? That scripture that I read from the book of Esther is an incredible scripture. And today we're going to be talking about the miracle of Hanukkah. What does that mean? I want to encourage you to join us on the air. You can call in 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. And I'm very excited to introduce our first guest to you. David Brickner leads an organization called Jews for Jesus, which is one of the best known Jewish evangelism agencies in the world, with branches in 14 countries. David has been in ministry for over 30 years. He's a friend of mine, and I am so blessed that he agreed to be with us on the air today. David, are you with us?
Hey, Brother Scott, I'm glad to be with you. Yes, I'm here.
Oh my goodness, this is such an amazing treat. One of the things that I really love doing is sitting behind this microphone, because I get to talk to some of the most incredible people in the world, and I count you as one of them.
Thank you, brother.
Well, thank you for joining us. Can you just briefly tell our listeners who may not know who you are, what it is that you do, how long you've been a believer in our Messiah, and what your vision is as far as Jewish evangelism is concerned?
Happy to. My David Brickner, I'm the executive director of Jews for Jesus. I'm coming to you from our headquarters in San Francisco. We have a little plaque on the cornerstone of our headquarters here. It says Jews for Jesus, established 32 AD, give or take a year. But of course, the organization is not that old. We were officially established in September of 1973, and so we've been at this ministry for over 40 years, making the Messiahship of Jesus an unavoidable issue to our Jewish people worldwide. We were actually founded by Moshe Rosen, a name familiar to many of your listeners,
yes,
no doubt. He was my mentor, and I succeeded him as executive director in 1996. And so I've been serving with Jews for Jesus well before then, but executive director since 96. And since that time, God has really continued to bless the ministry. We've expanded around the world, 14 countries, as you mentioned, and the largest branch of Jews for Jesus now is in the land of Israel. We have three full-time staff members there. We're the largest messianic ministry in the land of Israel, and that's where we're really seeing a lot of the exciting things happening. And, you know, you mentioned Hanukkah. It's amazing. You know, there's problems in Syria, and they affect Israel. Does that sound like today, or does it sound like 165 B.C.?
Incredible, isn't it? Incredible. Why don't you tell us just a little bit? I know you just recently returned from Israel. Can you tell us what you sense is the atmosphere in that land, especially as things are heating up in Syria, especially as things continue to be targeted against Israel? What was your trip like there? And would you encourage people, believers from the United States, to visit Israel? Because the way it's viewed sometimes on the press is that it's very dangerous to go to Israel, or you shouldn't be going there. But as somebody who just returned from Israel, give me your take on what your time there was like.
Yeah, and let me say that it really is a challenge to present both the difficulties of life in Israel and the encouragement for Christians to go, because there's no question, as I reflect back on this past year, that life has been more difficult this year than in many previous years, and the tension that escalated into the war that took place this past summer, and more recently, some of the terrorist attacks in Israel have just made life there, something that we as believers need to be praying for. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. And so we want to pray especially for peace to rule and reign in the hearts of Jews and Arabs who live there. But having said that, I was in Israel recently with a tour group that I led, people from Emmanuel Baptist Church in Little Rock, Arkansas, about 60 of them. Most of them had never been before, and it was a life-changing experience. That's what they would say. You know, they they used to read their Bible in black and white. Now they read it in color.
Isn't that something?
Even though we were there during times of tension and even some of the violence that we've heard reported, we were never in harm's way as a tour group. You know, and that those who have targeted people, terrorists, have never targeted a tour group. They just don't do that. They're trying perhaps to hurt Israelis, Israeli soldiers, and others, but never. Ever has there been a tour group that's been targeted. And so while we were aware of the conflict, it was absolutely phenomenal tour. And I know that everybody who was on that tour would just love to go back.
Yeah, that's something. Amazingly, we were probably there around the same time. I just returned from Israel last week myself. And one of the big questions I always get from people is it safe to go? And one of the major responses that I get upon coming home is that people say they can't believe how safe and how peaceful the trip was. So I really want to encourage anybody that's listening today, find out how you can join David Brickner on a tour to Israel, or anybody that's going to Israel on a tour. I really encourage you, see if you can sign up. It's a great way to support the people of Israel. David, we're discussing Hanukkah today, and as a Jewish believer in the Messiah, I know you were raised with Hanukkah candles. I also was raised with Hanukkah candles. It was one of the highlights of the year for me as we lit our menorah and we put it in the window of the house. But for our listeners who might be unfamiliar with Hanukkah, can you just give a brief overview of what Hanukkah is and why it's important for believers today?
Well, you can search throughout the entire scriptures, and the only place you'll find specific reference to Hanukkah is in John's Gospel, John chapter 10, beginning with verse 22. It says, "And the feast of dedication." It was the Feast of Dedication, and Jesus was in the temple in Solomon's portico. So Jesus celebrated Hanukkah. He was in the temple rejoicing in what this festival is all about. And the reason why you don't find it mentioned specifically being celebrated in the Older Testament is because Hanukkah commemorates events that took place during the intertestamental period, that time between the ending of the Old Testament canon with Malachi and before the beginning of the ministry of John the Baptist. And as I said at the beginning, there was problems in Syria. There, you know, today we have to deal with Islamic fundamentalists.
Yeah.
But back then, Israel had to deal with Hellenistic fundamentalists.
Mm.
This guy by the name of Antiochus, he called himself Epiphanes, meaning God manifest. He brought a mighty Syrian army and invaded the land of Israel to try and force their religion, Hellenistic worldview, language, culture, and the Greek gods and goddesses. And he defeated Israel and overwhelmed them and captured Jerusalem and defiled the temple by setting up altars and statues to Zeus. He declared himself God manifested in the temple and sacrificed a pig,
amazing,
an unclean animal, on the sacred altar there, thus defiling it.
Wow.
And that was a terrible tragedy for Israel. And that was the way things turned out, if that was the way it ended, there would be no Jewish people.
Yes.
And as a result, if you think about it, there would be no Christmas, because it would be impossible to have Christmas without the existence of the Jewish people, without the coming of the promised Messiah. All this happened, I think, as Satan's efforts to try and wipe the Jewish people off the face of the earth and prevent the coming of the Messiah himself.
Amazing.
But of course, God wasn't going to let that happen.
That's
right.
And
so he raised up a group of pious, righteous Jewish men who became known as the Maccabees. And though vastly outnumbered, they were able to, through beginning but with guerrilla warfare, slowly but very profoundly defeat the Syrian army, drive them out of Jerusalem, out of Israel, and rededicate the temple. That's what that word Hanukkah means, is dedication. And so that's what we're celebrating. The real miracle of Hanukkah is the ongoing preserving power of God to save the Jewish people from destruction.
Amen. On the other side of the break, and by the way, thank you so much for sticking with us for a couple of more minutes, we'll take your calls and we'll continue discussing Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication, and the miracle that happened on Hanukkah. Join us after the break.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it's Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on The Line of Fire broadcast, and this is Scott Volk, guest hosting for my dear friend, Dr. Michael Brown, who is somewhere in Malaysia getting ready to fly home. And it's a joy to be here with you today. And I'm joined by my friend, David Brickner, the leader of Jews for Jesus, a ministry that most all of you have heard of. And David, thanks again for joining us today on the show.
Great to be with you.
Yeah, well, we're discussing Hanukkah, but I'd like to take a caller, if you don't mind. Alan from Lebanon, Connecticut, you're on the air with your question for David Brickner.
Okay, that didn't hurt much. I didn't have to wait very long.
Oh, we try to not hurt at all here.
Well, you're doing a good job. I'm getting a little feedback, but I'll try to muddle through it. Thank you for considering this question, Brother David. I don't know Yahushua HaMashiach's birthday. I'm trying to calculate. I'm going to read Luke 1, verse 26. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth." This is New King James. I was wondering, is this the liturgical sixth month, which means it's 6 months from Passover, which would make it in the autumn, or is it the secular 6 months from Rosh Hashanah, which would make its conception in about April?
Well, of course, the months that are being referred to are not the Roman calendar months.
I'm familiar with that.
Pardon me?
I'm Jewish, so I'm going with the Jewish liturgical calendar.
Yes.
Or is it the secular Jewish, you know, the difference between Rosh Hashanah, which they say is the head of the month, which is, I call it the national calendar, versus Passover, which is the head of the month, head of the year, rather, on both ways. It's a liturgical calendar.
Right. Well, now, say what verse that you were talking about again, because I'm looking it up.
Okay, it's Luke chapter, chapter 1, verse 26.
Luke 1:26. Okay. In the sixth month, yeah, well, obviously, that is probably the normal Jewish calendar, which would begin with Nisan, that would be my guess, but, I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, Alan, thanks so much for your call. I really, really appreciate it. We've got just a couple minutes left with David, and I'm going to just run back into our topic, which is Hanukkah. We really appreciate you calling, though. David, to get back to the Hanukkah dialogue, there's something that Jewish children learn how to spin all the time. It's called a dreidel. That dreidel has four Hebrew letters embossed on it, one on each side. And those Hebrew letters mean, or they stand for, what means a great miracle happened there. Can you discuss what you perceive that great miracle to be?
Absolutely. Nes Gadol Hayasham, a great miracle happened there. Now, there's a tradition that most people are familiar with about the oil in the lamps. You know, when Israel recaptured the temple, according to a Talmudic tradition, there was only enough oil that was sanctified for use for one day, and it would take 8 full days for more oil to be made. And so the question that the Maccabees had was, should we light the sacred menorah in the temple only to see it go out again after one day? So the story of this Talmudic tradition is that the oil, only enough for one day, lasted for 8 whole days. And so that is what most people think about when they think of the miracle. You know, that certainly isn't mentioned in the scriptures, and certainly is a miracle that God could have done. But in reality, the historical reason for why Hanukkah was celebrated 8 days is simply because the most recent festival after the recapture of the temple was, in fact, Sukkot. And so we find in the book of Maccabees, that the second Maccabees, that the Jewish people decided to celebrate Sukkot late that year on the 25th of Kislev. And so the first celebration of Hanukkah was actually a celebration of Sukkot, which is celebrated for 8 days. Now, this later tradition of the light and the oil, well, you know, that's a nice story, and maybe it happened. But to me, the real miracle of Hanukkah, Nes Gadol Hayasham, the great miracle is that God preserved his people, and in so doing, preserved the line of King David, preserved the coming of the Messiah, whose birth we celebrate at this season. And so that is the greatest miracle of all. And, you know, when Jesus was in the temple in John chapter 10, he talked about that same preserving power that God has been extending to Israel throughout the years, as you mentioned, whether it be Herod or Hamas or Hitler, God has preserved us from all of those enemies. That same preserving power is now available to all those who hear his voice, who are his sheep,
and
who follow him, because no one can snatch us out of the Father's hand. And that miracle is being extended through the gift of salvation in Yeshua the Messiah, even today.
Amen. That's awesome. If there were non-Jewish believers out there who listening to this show today would say, I'd like to incorporate Hanukkah into what my family celebrates, are there any materials that you would recommend for them? And how could somebody who has not been raised with Hanukkah traditions enter in and enjoy this season?
Well, we have on our Jews for Jesus store, which you can go to jewsforjesus.org, we have a book called A Jewish Look at Hanukkah and Christmas. And someone can go on that and order it. There's information about what we've been talking about. There are the prayers of Hanukkah about lighting the candles. There are recipes for how to make latkes. Anything that's fried in oil is traditionally eaten, but especially latkes, potato pancakes, and sufganiyot, which are those wonderful powdered sugar jelly donuts. So you can learn about what to eat, how to play dreidel, how to incorporate this into your own family. So go onto our website and get that book, and you can even get menorahs and candles if you want.
That's awesome. So friends, listen, for more information about Jews for Jesus and our friend David Brickner, that's www.jewsforjesus.org. David, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and giving us even that little extra segment. You're a tremendous man. You're an inspiration to so many, and one that I really look up to as a mentor in Jewish ministry. Thank you for all that you do, and thank you for all that Jews for Jesus does.
Thanks, brother. Happy Hanukkah and Merry Messiahmas.
Amen. God bless you. Friends, join us on the next segment. We've got a very, very special guest coming on immediately after the break. We're going to get your call, Elizabeth. And trust me, this is a day that you don't want to miss, because we've got so many wonderful guests on. Thanks for listening to Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I'm dancing here to that music, but I'm not Dr. Michael Brown. He's smarter than I am. I might be slightly better looking than he is, but he is somewhere in Malaysia right now getting ready to fly back. And I have the privilege of hosting Line of Fire today, but it's not just any ordinary day, because we've got an incredible lineup of guests that are on. You may be listening live from somewhere in the United States. You may be online listening, or you may be listening to this as an archived copy of the show. But we welcome you, and I'm excited to welcome my next guest, whose voice you just heard piping through. This is Paul Wilbur. Paul, thank you so much for joining us on The Line of Fire.
Always, always fun. You're a longtime great friend. So is Dr. Brown, and I'm happy to join you today.
Well, I'm sure you would agree with me that Dr. Brown is slightly more intelligent than I am.
Probably more intelligent than all of our guests put together today. But who cares? We're all better looking.
We are all better looking.
And he's flying. He's coming back from Malaysia. I just did that a couple months ago.
Oh, my goodness.
In fact, we were on the same flight number. You know this, but the guests don't. Like 2 weeks before that one was shot down, the Malaysia Air flight that was shot down over the Ukraine, my whole team was on that same flight, same pattern.
Oh, my goodness.
Same flight number just a couple weeks earlier. So
we're
trusting that he's in safe space and he's going to come back and take over his show. We need Dr. Brown.
We definitely need Dr. Brown. Well, for those who may not know you, would you just give a brief overview of what you do? You travel around the world. You're singing. You produce all these different music scores in many different languages. Who is Paul Wilbur? How long have you known the Lord? And what are you guys and Paul Wilbur Ministries involved in right now?
Wow. I told you, producer.
And you have 15 seconds to answer that, bro.
Oh, man, see, that is just not fair, because I'm talking about myself. It's my second favorite subject. talking about you and Dr. Brown is my first favorite subject. Known the Lord, been walking with Yeshua since 1977. Got led to the Lord by a Baptist in a fishing boat on a fishing trip. I came to know him, of course, like we all did, as Jesus Christ, and then learned as a Jewish believer that he was really undercover. He had his identity stolen. He's really a Jewish rabbi from Israel. Mm. it took a little while to discover that by reading, of course, the new covenant. But ever since the very first day, Scott, I had a master's degree in music at that time. Had already lived in Italy. I was wanting to be a cantor and an opera singer like Richard Tucker and Robert Merrill, two very famous Jewish guys who changed their name, and only probably because Feldman and Finkelstein weren't the best stage names for opera singers. And then I met Yeshua. He used all of those years since I was 9 years old, practicing guitar, singing, performing, and my love for music, and turned me into a messianic Jewish worship leader, integrity artist. I've been singing and making records since 1977 with Christian record companies. We've been in 70 nations. We record in 5 languages. We're working on 2 new projects even as we speak. Even as Dr. Brown is flying back from
Malaysia,
right. We're working on 2. Even as your braces are straightening your teeth, I understand.
Easy. Listen, Paul, we're coming up to a break. On the other side of the break, you can make fun of my braces. I want you to talk about the Revive Project. And I also want to dive into our topic today, which is Hanukkah. Join us, friends. You can call in and talk to Paul at 866-348-7884. Thanks for joining us today.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What an amazing privilege we have to have Paul Wilbur with us on The Line of Fire today. I'm Scott Volk, guest hosting for Dr. Michael Brown, and it's been a great show already. I'm really looking forward to all that's ahead. And Paul, before we get to our first caller, I'm wondering if you can talk to us a little bit about the Revive Project. I know that that's something that's very dear to your heart and dear to the heart of Wilbur Ministries. What is the Revive Project?
Well, we have loved the music of Lamb, of course, for many, many years. Joel Chernoff was really the premier pioneer of Messianic Jewish music revival back in the early 70s. Then along came a lot of other people. But so we have gone into the studio now. We've pulled aside 12 of our favorite Lamb and then Israel's Hope songs, which was the group that I had in the 80s, Israel's Hope, three Jews trying to get to heaven, what we called ourselves. We're still trying to get there, and but we have the assurance that we're going to make it, of course. And
yes, you are.
So we're putting those 12 songs together. We've got the soundtracks done. We're now putting all the pieces together, and pretty soon we're going to release that. From the 70s and 80s, these are classic songs that we used in praise and worship for ourselves, for community worship in our synagogues and congregations, and it's just going to be so much fun, but it's not going to sound like you remember.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just warning people that oompa, 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 it may, one of them's turned into a samba, another one's turned into
nice.
A reggae, oh, it's
nice.
Fun. It's fun. So that's good. Well,
and for people who want to get that, how can they find out more about that? Your website?
Sure, paulwilbur.com. It's also going to be an Integrity Music release, so they can check their local Christian bookstore. If they attend a Messianic congregation and have a bookstore, that I'm sure that'll be there. I don't know, Scott, that it's going to be, you know, the shelf space that we used to have in Walmart and Kmart has shrunk so small that it's hard to find any really good Christian music in any of those big stores anymore. But, yep, paulwilbur.com.
Wonderful.
Watch our Facebook. We've got over 500,000 folks that follow us on Facebook and Twitter and so it'll be available. You'll hear about it.
Wonderful. Well, I look forward to that coming out. Before I ask you some questions related to Hanukkah, we've got a caller on hold from Jersey City, Jersey. So, Elizabeth, if you're still there, you're on with Scott Volk and Paul Wilbur. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hi, welcome. I just wanted to ask a question. When you're talking about Hanukkah and the Jews and Jesus, why is it that they say half of them don't even believe in the Messiah? So I don't understand. I just wanted to know that.
Well, thanks for the call, Elizabeth. I'm going to let Paul answer that. Thanks so much for calling. Go ahead, my brother.
Well, that's a good question. Thanks for your call, Elizabeth. That's a lot of what our lives are about. You know, Romans 1:16-17 says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." This
that's
is
right.
A rabbi declaring this. Rabbi Shaul, you might know him as the Apostle Paul. He says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to anyone who would dare to believe." I put "dare" in there. It's an edit. To the Jew first, and also to the nations or to the Greeks. Your NIV says, and why don't more Jewish people believe in Jesus? Well, you might be amazed to find out, Elizabeth, that in the first century, even an Orthodox scholar by the name of Pinchas Lapid has written a book called The Resurrection of Jesus, A Jewish Perspective. And he says in that book that there, as Jews, we can no longer deny the messiahship of Jesus or Yeshua by saying that the resurrection never took place. He's researched and he says it is a historical fact that the resurrection is a historical fact. He's researched all the, you know, the Jewish scholars and the first century folks, and then he says, of course, at the end of the book, therefore he must be the Messiah of the Gentiles. So there is, the resurrection is absolutely a historical fact. In the first century, we believe, because of research, that maybe as much as many as 1/6 of Israel, that's 1 million people, were followers, 1 million Jews were followers of Yeshua as the Messiah. Some of them actually saw him 40 days after the resurrection. He walked around the land. He appeared to 1, 2, 3, 11 hundreds at a time. And but over the centuries, his identity has been well disguised. He's been culturalized. You look at any picture, any historical picture after the first century of who is Jesus, and he's got long blonde hair. He looks like anything but a Jew. And so, but now there is a great resurgence in.
Paul, you still with us? I think what Paul was saying is that there's a great resurgence in the earth today of Jews who are coming to the Lord. Paul, you still here? Okay, I think we lost Paul, and as you guys try to get him back on the air, I just want to say something in response to Elizabeth as well. I really believe that this is the time and this is the hour for those who believe in Jesus to stand up and to be a light. Do you know that salvation has come to the nations, to the Gentiles, because of God's love for you, and that we're called to provoke Israel to jealousy? That's something that we can be doing even in this season. It's the season of Hanukkah, and I want to encourage you guys to be praying for Israel. We actually started about 4 months ago, we started a Facebook page called 1 Minute for Israel. I want to encourage you to go there. My name's nowhere on there. You'd have no idea that it was me. We started this, I think, in August. Already we have about 25,000 followers who are committing to pray at least 1 minute a day for Israel. So go to Facebook, click on 1 minute for Israel, hit like, and even today we posted something about Hanukkah, and it's just a way to keep people praying and keeping Israel before us. Paul, are you back with us?
I am. I was right in the middle of a great preaching episode when something happened.
Oh, my goodness. Well, as you were preaching, you said that Mike Brown was smarter than you and I combined. However, as you were preaching, bro, I kind of think that maybe you mentored Mike Brown. You've known him for quite some time, haven't you?
It's a little-known fact, but you've discovered the source of all of his smarts.
I've discovered the source of his smarts. So Paul, when you think of Hanukkah, tell me, if there's one word that comes to your mind when you think of Hanukkah, one word, what would that word be?
Ooh, I was thinking of 4 words, actually.
Okay, so why don't you give us 4?
I'm going to give you 4. Nes Gadol Hayah Sham. It's those 4 letters on that lowly little dreidel, the little top game that we play at Hanukkah. And it's got all kinds of rules, and we don't have time to go through it, but it stands for Nes Gadol Hayasham, which means a great miracle happened there. Mm. And when we think of Hanukkah, Scott, a lot of people think, of course, of the candles and the day's worth of oil that burned for 8 days. But I wanted to ask, what's the greater miracle? Was it that a little vial of oil burned for 8 days, or is it perhaps that in the face of ridiculous odds, I mean ridiculous odds, the Greco-Syrian army, who has just come back from kicking some serious booty in Egypt, serious booty. I mean, these guys are war-torn. They are professionals. And a small group of Jewish priests picks up some sticks and stones and chases the Syrian army along with their war elephants.
Yep.
And I preach this. We have as you know, we've got our first Friday meeting here in Jacksonville. I even had some real footage from back in 165 BC. We actually showed it on our monitor of war elephants getting their big booties kicked by
wow.
by guys with sticks and stones. And did you know this? Did you know this? We're probably running out of time.
We're coming right up to a break. Can you, Paul, would you be able to stick with us just through the break? Finish
All right,
this
I'll stick
story?
With you.
Oh, you are the man. Friends, you don't want to miss. You got to stick through the break because the end of the big booty story is coming up and you don't want to miss it. Thanks so much for listening to Line of Fire today. We've got an amazing lineup. After Paul, we've got some very, very special guests as well. You can call in and join us on the air. You can listen online at lineoffire.com. Friends, this is a show you want to share with your friends. Thanks for listening to Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it's Thoroughly Jewish Thursday today, and this is Scott Volk sitting in for my dear friend Michael Brown, who's somewhere between Malaysia and the United States on his way home from a week's worth of ministry overseas in both Malaysia and India. I want to encourage you to keep lifting Dr. Brown up in prayer. Not only does he do this live 2-hour show most days, but he's traveling around the world, and I'm so proud of how the Lord is using him, proud in a very, very good way, as he's really a moral voice in an age where people are asking the church to assimilate into the world society, which interestingly is exactly what the Syrians were asking the Jewish people to do and the Greeks were asking the Jewish people to do back in 160-something BC. And Paul, right before our break, you were in the middle of a story where you were talking about the Jewish people overcoming some serious odds. And I want to give you some time just to finish that story before we close out the hour today.
Yeah, well, if people, I was asking the question before the break, you know, what's the greater miracle? Was
right.
it the oil that burned for 8 days, the one day's supply of oil that burned for 8 days, or was it that a few Jewish priests, I mean, priests, come on, these aren't even David's mighty men,
right.
pick up some sticks and stones and throw the bums out. I mean, they chase probably the world's most professional and war-hardened army out of the nation at 165 B.C. And here's the reason, Scott. Here's the bottom line. It was because a king was coming.
Mm.
It was because Israel had to be there to welcome her king, the promised king that was being prepared and was about to show up. Israel was being prepared to welcome a king. Now, I told you, you know, that little dreidel game that we play, and it has four letters on it that's a part of the game, and they stand for the four Hebrew words, Nes Gadol Hayasham, a great miracle happened there. Now, the thing that's exciting to me about this is that those letters have changed. I don't know if people know this, but that ancient game has changed. The letters have changed. Why? Because a miracle happened there. In 1948, out of the
yes.
ashes of the Holocaust, a nation was born in a day. And so after 1948, Jewish kids that play with a dreidel this time of year, their dreidel doesn't look like a dreidel that's used in the rest of the world. Why? Because theirs has a letter change. The sheen has been changed to a pei, and their dreidel says a great miracle happened here.
Wow.
You see, because Jerusalem, whether people like it or not, is the center of the universe. It's the city of God. It is the city of our Messiah. It's the city of the great king. It's the city of David. But it's a land that God calls his own. And so the miracle that happened, or the miracles that happened back in 165 that we celebrate now, and the rest of the world says a great miracle happened there, because of the miracle of 1948 and the establishment of a Jewish nation, now Israelis play with a dreidel that says, a great miracle happened here. Nes gadol hayapo. And that's a great reminder that we serve a miracle-working God, but not just one from thousands of years ago. No, he's working miracles today and tomorrow and the next day, and he'll be here. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's my little spiel on Hanukkah, and I'm not going to change.
Your little spiel was well worth it. I so appreciate that. I'm just going to ask you one more question before I let you go. You know, Israel continues today, even after the miracle of 165, and even after the miracle of 1948, and even after the miracle of 1967, Israel still is in the crosshairs of their enemies. I don't know of another nation that is the focal point of annihilation, whether it was Haman or Hamas or Ahmadinejad, who says he's going to wipe Israel off the face of the map. Why is Israel in the crosshairs of annihilation, and why is it important for those of us who say that Jesus is our Messiah, why is it important for us to stand with Israel? And you have 2 minutes to make your point.
It's really simple. Dr. Scott,
because thank you.
A king is coming. Israel has been preserved in antiquity because a king was coming. He was prophesied through all the prophets. You see him in Micah. You see him in Isaiah. You see him in Zechariah.
Yes.
You see him in all of the prophets. A king was coming. So Israel was preserved. Israel was established. Israel was sustained. Because a king was coming, because the King of all kings had made a promise, and he is a keeper of his word. And why will he do it today? Because that same king is coming again. You know, the ancient rabbis, as they searched the scriptures, Scott, they saw two messiahs. They found one, Mashiach ben Yosef, the suffering servant like Joseph, who would suffer at the hands of his brothers, not recognized until the end of the story. What a powerful, powerful parallel that is.
Yes.
To Messiah Yeshua. And then they also saw this conquering king who's going to come in and, pardon the expression, kick some serious booty at the end of the days. And
Paul, are you still with us? Well, maybe he got censored because of his booty comment. Listen, it is true. Paul, are you still there? Okay, we're going to go on. For some reason, we've lost Paul, but I just want to say this. Paul was making this amazing point that a king is coming. And here is the deal. When Jesus returns as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and sometimes I like to say Jew, duh, he's coming back. He was born the King of the Jews. He died King of the Jews. He's returning as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And when he returns, the enemy's rule and reign is over. And I understand we have Paul back. Paul, are you still here?
I'm still here. I hear static on the line, so I guess you may want to have, during a break, someone come in and check your phones. But
okay,
yeah, I'm still here.
Well, we have a break coming up in about 30 seconds, and I'm just glad that you're back so that I can personally thank you and our listeners for the opportunity of listening to us. We're at the end of the hour here. And Paul, for people who want to go to your website, it's wilburministries.com, correct?
Yeah, but the easier one to remember is paulwilbur.com.
PaulWilbur.com. Paul, you're a dear friend. We love you. We esteem you. We're so thankful for the role that you are playing in Jewish evangelism around the world. And thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire.
It's a joy.
All righty, Paul. Lord bless you. Happy Hanukkah. Friends, stick with us on the other side of the hour. We're going to have three amazing guests. Thanks for listening to The Line of Fire.
Thank you.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Today we witnessed staggering examples of European hypocrisy. In Geneva, they call for the investigation of Israel for war crimes, while in Luxembourg, the European court removed Hamas from the list of terrorist organizations. Hamas that has committed countless war crimes and countless terror acts.
Wow. That's Benjamin Netanyahu speaking about the fact that Hamas is not any longer being considered a terrorist organization. Let's see, Joe, if we can go to clip number two. This is really incredible to listen to on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Can we get clip two up?
It seems that too many in Europe, on whose soil 6 million Jews were slaughtered, have learned nothing. But we in Israel, we've learned. We'll continue to defend our people and our state against the forces of terror and tyranny and hypocrisy.
Thanks for listening to Line of Fire. It's Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. And my name is Scott Volk. I have the privilege of sitting in today for my dear friend Michael Brown, who's somewhere in Malaysia getting ready to fly home after a couple of weeks of intense ministry in both Singapore, Malaysia, and I think he was in India also, but it's a joy and a privilege for me to be sitting here. Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. And interestingly, it's the third day of Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is really the focal point of what we're discussing on the show today. Something incredible happened between the time of Malachi and the time of the book of Matthew, where something with our Jewish people miraculously happened. And this story is going to encourage you all as you listen to it. But as I was listening to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu there, I was struck with this. There has been an age-old plot to wipe Israel off the face of the earth forever. An age-old plot back in the book of Esther. We have these famous words by Haman. Listen to these words. I started off the other hour with this. There's a certain people scattered and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from those of all other people, and they do not observe the king's laws, so it is not in the king's interest to let them remain. If it is pleasing to the king, let it be decreed that they be destroyed. 2,500 years ago, Haman is calling for the destruction of Israel. A little over 25 years ago, listen to this from the Hamas charter. The day of judgment will not come until Muslims fight Jews and kill them. Or how about this from the preamble of the Hamas charter? Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it, just as it obliterated others before it. Friends, I want to ask you, have you ever wondered why, from the time of Haman to the time of Hamas, why Haman or Hitler or Herod or Hamas or Ahmadinejad has called for the annihilation of Israel? There is a call of God on the people of Israel, and God is a God who keeps his promises to 1,000 generations. And today, as we're discussing Hanukkah, I want to encourage you, open your Bibles, look at John 10, where Jesus was celebrating the Feast of Dedication. And we're going to talk about why he was celebrating it, what kind of miracle happened. And after we come back from the break, Mitch Glazer from Chosen People Ministries is going to be our special guest. Friends, you can call in 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884 to join us on today's show. You can listen in online. We're so glad you're with us. Pray for Dr. Brown as he's traveling, and let's open our hearts to see what the Lord would speak to us about how he preserves his people.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, friends, it's Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, and Scott Volk here sitting in for Dr. Michael Brown. And it's a joy to be with you today. We've had some amazing guests on, but no less amazing is our next guest. And for the next 15 or 20 minutes, we are going to be hearing from Dr. Mitch Glazer, who served as the president of Chosen People Ministries, which is one of the oldest and largest messianic ministries in the world. And not only is he the leader of that ministry, but he's somebody that I would consider a very, very dear friend and one who I really look up to in Jewish ministry. Mitch, it's so good to have you on the air with us today.
How are you, Scott? Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah to you too, my friend. I just got back from Israel about a week ago, and the preparations for Hanukkah were in full swing. And as the leader of one of the oldest and largest messianic ministries in the world, I'd like for our listeners to hear what Hanukkah means to you.
Sure, Scott. And forgive me, I have a my voice is a little gravelly today.
Oh, no problem. You sound great.
And I thought that I would get the sympathy vote from the crowd this afternoon. So
sympathy vote for sure. And I may have you sing the Hebrew prayer for Hanukkah before we hang up today.
Oh, okay. I'll try.
Okay, go ahead, brother.
Scott, it's great to talk to you, and I'm so glad that that you gave me the joy of being with you today. Hanukkah has always meant a lot to me. You know, it's a toss up as to whether or not Hanukkah or Passover are my favorite holidays.
Mm.
Now, the one thing about Jewish holidays, except for one, is that there's always a lot of food, you know.
That's right. So
some Jewish people will evaluate which one's their favorite holiday based upon the menu. And so certainly Passover is fantastic, but I love Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is not only a time when we eat what we call potato latkes, which are potato pancakes. And also in Israel, as you know, they were preparing, you saw donuts all over the place.
Right.
Sufganiyot. And so these are filled with jelly. And the latest, Scott, and you remember my wife, Sahava, is from Argentina, Jewish believer.
Yes.
And so some of these donuts in Israel are filled with dulce de leche, which some of your audience knows what that is, and I don't know which one's my favorite. So they're all delicious. But it's important to remember that Hanukkah really points to a greater redemption. And the reason why I love it is not because of the food. It's not just because of all the presents that I got as kids. And even at this age, I still get Hanukkah presents from my family. So, I mean, it's all wonderful. But the joy of Hanukkah is knowing that God has preserved the Jewish people. God
Amen.
Has always cared for us. The promise was way back in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, God's covenant with Abraham, where God promised Abraham that he would be a great nation, that he would have a land. And then he said, I'll bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you.
That's
right. You, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So the Jewish people also had a great vocation, a job to do in this world, to be a bridge of redemption, so that the Gentile nations could look at the Jewish people and say, there is a God, he loves us, he's revealed himself to us, and he's a great redeemer, and we can trust him. And so the perseverance of the Jewish people is not only great for the Jewish people. Certainly I'm glad that Antiochus Epiphanes and the Syrian Greeks didn't destroy the Jewish people.
Yes.
As they tried. But what's really great for me is to know that God has preserved his people and preserved us, because through the world, God would send the Messiah.
Amen.
God would one day turn the hearts of our people to Jesus, and then Jesus will return. And all of this is a testimony also to the church and to Gentiles in general, because as God has treated the Jewish people, so God will treat the rest of the world.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's undeniable that from the point of God choosing a nation, that nation has been in the crosshairs of annihilation, whether it's Haman, whether it's Hamas, whether it's Hitler. I was talking to one of our previous guests about it. What would you say? So Messiah came, and then Israel was born, but still even today, 2014, Israel is still the focal point of annihilation, that people want to see Israel marginalized, if not wiped off the map. What is so important about Israel that that small piece of land would be the focal point of annihilation as opposed to any other small piece of land anywhere on the globe?
Well, you know, Scott, that's a magnificent question. I mean, it is a question of magnificent impact. It is almost beyond human comprehension.
Yeah.
To try and figure out why nations of the world for thousands of years have tried to destroy the Jewish people, and why nations of the world today are trying to destroy the Jewish people, why there's such a rise in anti-Semitism on U.S. campuses throughout Western Europe, why a swastika was just painted on the door of a Jewish teacher in a French school in the south of France. Mm. And you can blame it on the rise of Palestinian anti-Semitism, and I think that there is a lot to a more jihadist mentality, anti-Semitism that's just horrific, and normally Americans don't see it, but you can see it, particularly if you read some of the English websites that are representing the jihadist opinion, not just our own websites, but look at what they're saying.
Yeah.
And so it's terrible, terrible. So why? Why is it just a human hatred of the Jewish peoples because Jewish people eat kosher, or because Jewish people keep the Sabbath, or because Jewish people look different? Or let's get blunt, people believe Jews have all the money, or Jews have all the influence in Hollywood. Mm. Or, you know, is any of this the key to anti-Semitism? Absolutely not, because it changes from day to day. In
right.
every generation, there's a new reason to hate Jewish people. And it's not just personal. It becomes national. Culture versus culture. So why is it? There's only one explanation for it, and that's more of a spiritual cosmic understanding.
Mm-hmm.
When God chose the Jewish people, Satan chose the Jewish people as his enemies. Why? Well, I mean, I'm sure one of your guests by now has probably used this statement, but I believe it with my whole heart. Without Hanukkah, there'd be no Christmas.
That's right.
And it's the absolute truth. Because the devil knew the Messiah would come through the Jewish people. He couldn't stop it, but he tried.
Yes.
And so the best way to destroy the Messiah was to destroy the people from whom the Messiah would come. And so he did that. And then the Messiah came. So why is he still at it? You know,
would
think that by now, you know, he learned the lesson.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the devil doesn't just read the Old Testament. He reads Romans chapters 9 through 11, too.
That's right.
And he understands that there's a day coming when Jewish people will turn to Jesus, when all Israel will be saved, when the Lord will return, when he'll set up his kingdom on earth, when all glory will fill the earth, when the knowledge of the Lord will fill the earth as the waters fill the sea. And that's what's coming. And the devil is going to try and stop that. And so if the Messiah already came, the only thing he can do now is destroy the Jewish people who, if and when they repent, will be the precursor to the coming of the Messiah, the second
Amen.
Coming. And
Amen.
So this is not a human battle. I'm not taking blame away from some of the horrible anti-Semites who've lived previous years and who live today. They are under God's judgment. But I will say that this battle, this scourge of anti-Semitism, is not just human. It's satanic.
Yes. Amen. It's obviously not human, or else it would not have gone on for this long. You know, we only have 1 minute to go here, Mitch, and I'm just wondering if you could just briefly tell folks about Chosen People Ministries. One book that I would highly recommend you get is The People, the Land, and the Future of Israel, which is highlighted on chosenpeople.com. But in 30 seconds, Mitch, tell people how we can pray for Jewish people in this season, and specifically how we can pray for Chosen People Ministries in the heart of Brooklyn. 15 seconds. I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. First of all, go to chosenpeople.com and look at our Hanukkah stuff. We've got a video on there and so much more. You'll love it. Pray that more and more Jewish people will come to faith. Tomorrow night we're having a Hanukkah party at our center in the heart of Orthodox Jewish Brooklyn. Pray that Jewish people and not yet believers will come.
Amen.
And learn about the light of the world. We'll love
Amen.
You doing that.
Amen. Mitch Glazer, thanks so much for joining us. We love you. We love Chosen People Ministries. Friends, we've got an amazing show on the other side of the break. Stick with us, and let's remember to pray for the lost sheep of the house of Israel in this Hanukkah season.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, and this is Scott Volk sitting in Dr. Michael Brown's seat, and it's a privilege to be the guest host today as Dr. Brown is in Malaysia on Hanukkah. It's the third day of Hanukkah, second day somewhere, third day in other places, but we're so happy to be with you today. And on the line right now is my dear friend, Stephen Corey from Bethlehem in Israel. Stephen, can you hear me okay?
Yes, shalom, Scott. God bless you, brother.
Shalom to you, and God bless you. I just want to tell our listeners one of the things that my ministry, Together for Israel, does is we connect with Jewish and Arab believers in the land of Israel, and one of my prayers has been that God would connect me with Arab leaders who love God, who love their people, and who love the Jewish people. And Stephen, I am so blessed that he brought you into my life.
Praise God, brother. I say the same as well. Happy Hanukkah. A blessed, merry, merry, merry Christmas. And it's time to rejoice for our King is risen.
Amen, Stephen. Well, it's Hanukkah time over in Israel. I know you live in a part of Israel where there's not a whole lot of Jewish people, but there are other parts where there are, and you frequently go in and out. What's the mood in Israel during this Hanukkah season?
Well, you know, you see a lot of people have a lot of cheer in their life. You know, they're looking at themselves, whether it be from a religious perspective or the temple, remembering the temple being rebuilt, and whether it be from a secular perspective, they're just seeing around them that it's the end of the year, and they're hoping for the best, and they're hoping things would come, would be better for them.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I was just over there. As you know, we got to share a meal together and just seeing the preparations for Hanukkah. It was an amazing thing to me. But I want to ask you a very, very pointed question because you're an Arab believer. I want to hear from your mouth how you feel that non-Jewish people should be treating in their prayer time and in their walks. How should we be looking at Israel? Is Israel still God's chosen people? I don't want to talk about politics. I think if people talk politically, they're going to have a skewed view. But just from a biblical perspective, as an Arab leader in the land with many, many Arab pastors who look to you, how do you view Israel and what's Israel's role, their biblical role in these end days?
You know, Brother Scott, as an Arab believer, I am bound by one thing, the scripture. And I'm bound by what God teaches me, and I follow God's word. We see God has a plan, both beginning in Genesis 1, all the way to Ezekiel 36, all the way down to the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. God. We see the evidence of God's promises being fulfilled through the Jewish people throughout generation after generation after generation. And we need to treat the Bible as is. God has a promise. God has a plan. It's everlasting. No one can change it. No one can alter it. No one can replace it.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. If I'm not mistaken, you are either the president or the vice president of Holy Land Missions. Is that true?
Yes, sir. Holy Land Missions. We have 11 active ministries here in the land of Israel and the Palestinian territories. In the 11 ministries, the first one of them was begun in 1979 with my father, with several other leaders with him. We are preaching the message of Jesus Christ. We are preaching God's plan for his people, the nation of Israel. We're also teaching God's plan for the church, the New Testament church. And with this, we've faced a lot of persecution, faced a lot of suffering, faced a lot of attacks growing up, being called son of a traitor, son of an infidel, the son of a proselytizer, because my father was very strong in sharing Jesus with the Arab Muslim community and sharing the love of Jesus with others. It came at a price, but we are still standing strong today, preaching Jesus in areas where nobody is going to.
So are you saying that there was persecution on you guys because of your turning to Jesus?
There is. You know, if you don't share your faith, you're going to blend in with most people. If you want to stand out, or if you want to fulfill your calling, that makes you stand out. And fulfilling my calling, fulfilling my father's calling, that's sharing the message of Jesus and sharing God's love for the people here in the land. That
Wonderful.
Comes at a price. We chose to pay that price, and we have experienced this. We've faced many rocks and stones thrown at the church building, and rocks and stones thrown at the church people while they're worshiping, their church vehicles. We've had members get attacked, get beaten in the past years. You know, things are fluctuating. Things get, you know, they go up and down. Yeah, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. But you have to be committed. And we think of ourselves as committing to Christ, even with our last breath in our body.
Wow. We have about 90 seconds before our first break. Would you quickly tell our listeners the story of the megaphone that's on top of your church?
Sure. You know, my father believes that we have to be a lighthouse as far, as loud as we can, as a strong of a lighthouse we can. So my father, 25 plus years ago, decided to slap four loudspeakers on top of the steeple. And on Sundays, a sermon goes to around 2.5 mile radius all over the city of Bethlehem on the loudspeakers. We are the only ministry that does it throughout the Middle East. Whether you like it or not, you're stuck with a 45-minute message. And
Stephen,
we do it because we want to let the community know that we're here. The message of Christ cannot be turned off. The cause of Christ cannot be shut down or suffocated. The message of Christ is growing and will continue to grow till the end.
Wow, brother, that is really, really something. And one of the things that our ministry, Together for Israel, is pleased to do is we partner with Holy Land Missions any way we can. And it's going to be increasing in the days and months and years ahead as we continue to grow, because these guys are making a difference, not only in Bethlehem, but you work in Gaza as well. Is that right, brother?
We do. We work in strategic cities, Brother Scott, and your ministry has been a great supporter of that. We work in areas where nobody's going to, or if they are there, they're very few. Gaza, Jenin, Nablus, which is Samaria, of course, Bethlehem, the old city, Jerusalem, the new city of Jerusalem.
Wonderful.
The northern part, in areas where even locals are afraid to walk or enter. We're going in there. We're foot soldiers for the gospel.
Wonderful. Well, on the other side of the break, I want you to talk a little bit more of Holy Land Missions and some projects that our listeners may be able to get behind. Friends, this is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. What a special day to celebrate together Hanukkah and God's keeping power over his people. And you are his people. In the same way he keeps Israel, he will keep you. Talk to you on the other side of the break.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it's Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, friends, and this is Scott Volk sitting in for Dr. Michael Brown, who is currently in Malaysia after a grueling time of ministry, grueling only physically. Spiritually, it's been amazing with regard to his ministry in India and in Malaysia, and he'll be flying back. I think he'll be on the air with you tomorrow. But on the line with me right now is my dear friend and pastor, Stephen Curry, from Bethlehem. Stephen, thanks again for being with us today. I'm wondering if you can share with those who are listening some projects that people might want to be able to get behind that you're currently doing, specifically the Worship Center. Would you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, Brother Scott. First of all, I want to thank you, Scott, yourself, and those that support your ministry as well, Together for Israel, because you guys have stood beside us, and I know that there's much more we can and need to do together. Basically, our ministry, our DNA is church planting, evangelism, and discipleship, Brother Scott. And that's what drives our ministry. Now, in 2015, we've targeted cities that are entrenched in hatred and violence. We've targeted cities that are very anti anybody else that's not a Muslim. Cities that need the gospel, have never heard the gospel, that have zero outreaches. Yes, this is now, right now, in the 21st century, in Israel, in the Holy Land, areas where they've never heard about Jesus Christ. Our focus for 2015 is we are praying to expand our print shop. We have a local print shop here at the church. It's in-house printing at the ministry here. Our vision is to revamp and update our equipment. So we are praying for God to provide needs for that. The second thing is to reach these cities. Not only do we need to print booklets and DVDs and Bibles and Gospels to send them in, but we also need foot soldiers. So we are challenging and asking the Christian world to stand beside us in adopting a full-time evangelist. And then the third thing is we're challenging and asking God to put beside us people that can stand beside us on a regular monthly basis to help us expand to reach these 12 cities, Brother Scott. And people can do that by visiting our website, holylandmissions.org, holylandmissions.org, or they can search Stephen Curry on Google.
Stephen, I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. I know our time was fairly brief, but you've been a great encouragement to me and to the body as you continue to stand. And one of the things that you are doing as an Arab brother is provoking Israel to jealousy. As an Arab man, you know, I'm a full-blooded Jew. I'm married to a full-blooded Arab. And people don't think that Jews and Arabs can get along. But brother, they are wrong, aren't they?
Amen. They are. In fact, I do want to add this statement. I've had the privilege to get invited to Jewish synagogues to share. I'm invited to share why I, as an Arab, love the Jewish people. They ask me, I respond, and I say, I am here to love you because I'm saved by a Jewish Messiah. And that's an honor for me to be able to go into Jewish synagogues and share that.
Well, that's awesome, bro, and it blesses me to know that Jews and Arabs together are really one new man in the Messiah. You know, when God looks down at us, he doesn't say Scott the Jew and Stephen the Arab. He looks at both of us as sons, and there's not going to be a Jewish quarter in the New Jerusalem. We are one new man, and I am so blessed that I get to walk through life with you, and I'm so thankful for our friendship. Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire.
Thank you, brother. God bless you guys.
All righty. God bless you too. Friends, thanks so much for listening in. We still have a good 25 minutes left on this show, and we've got a great guest coming on the other side of the break. But I want to encourage you, look at Dr. Brown's website, askdrbrown.org, for his special this week. Keep praying for Dr. Brown as he's traveling. And friends, this is a great time to sow into Line of Fire Radio. He trusts in God, and he trusts that God will keep him on the air. Friends, do what you can and help, especially in this season. Lord bless you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it's Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, friends, and this is Scott Bull coming to you live from our studio in Charlotte, North Carolina. Privileged to be sitting in the studio for my friend Dr. Michael Brown, who is currently in Malaysia and will be coming home. I think he'll actually be hosting this show tomorrow, taking your questions. But this is an incredible time of year on the Jewish calendar because it's the time where we commemorate Hanukkah, the feast of dedication. We've had some amazing guests on the air, and the guest that we have now is no less amazing, actually probably more amazing than them all, my dear friend, Jonathan Bernis. Jonathan, thanks so much for being with us today.
Scott, great to be with you. Am I before or after my friend Paul Wilbur?
You're after Paul Wilbur, so you have an opportunity to outshine him greatly.
Okay, well, I'll do my best, my very, very best.
Well, you oversee an incredible ministry called Jewish Voice. Can you give our listeners a little bit of history of who you are, how you came to oversee Jewish Voice, and what the mission of Jewish Voice is?
Sure, Scott, I'd love to. I became a believer in Jesus back in 1980 while I was studying business administration at the University of Buffalo. And obviously my life was completely, completely changed, a 180-degree turn.
Mm.
And I knew immediately that I was being called to full-time ministry, which was frightening, because at that time it would be the last thing I wanted to do. But I knew that this is what God was calling me to. I ran for a while, but everywhere I ran, God was at the end of the road, and I finally gave in and went to finish the School of Business Administration, actually left the School of Business Administration and pursued a degree in Jewish Studies and Early Christianity, completed that, and then went into ministry in 1984 by leading a Messianic Jewish congregation in Rochester, New York, my hometown. And Messianic Jewish congregation, for those that aren't familiar with the term, are congregations made up of Jews and Gentiles, believers, that worship together in the context of Jewish identity, of a biblical Jewish lifestyle to some extent, with a calling to reach the Jew first, which is commanded in Romans chapter 1. The gospel is to the Jew first. Did that for 9 years and then moved to Russia and lived in St. Petersburg, Russia, and really experienced a great revival among Jewish people during the years that followed in 1993, 94, 95. Well, during that time, a woman named Kira Kaplan, came to visit with a TV cameraman, and I became familiar with the ministry that she led with her husband, Jewish Voice Broadcast. Now, Scott, you were involved with Jewish Voice long
before I was,
and your parents were very involved and worked for Jewish Voice as part of the team years ago. And she began to talk to me about taking over leadership of this television ministry. Last thing I wanted to do living
Amazing.
In Russia, I was a missionary to my own people, and so the idea of TV, Christian television ministry, was of no interest to me at all. But I began to work with them. I fell in love with Lewis and Kira, and Kira convinced Lewis, the founder of Jewish Voice, to come to one of our big festivals of Jewish music and dance back in Riga in 1998. And en route, he suffered a stroke and never recovered from the stroke. Long story short, I took over Jewish Voice in 1999. And we've been growing ever since. It's been a great ride. I host a weekly television program on Christian TV that's soon to be a daily program. And our main thrust, Scott, is going to Jewish communities around the world that are most open to the gospel. And that's taken us, unfortunately, not to places like Paris, France, or to Spain or Italy, but to places like Zimbabwe and Ethiopia,
incredible,
where there's Jewish communities, got open to the gospel, wide open to the gospel, and we've seen thousands of Jewish people respond. And I'm talking about Jewish people that trace their heritage back to the lost tribes, to the tribe of Asher, to the tribe of Dan, to the tribe of Levi. So it's really been an incredible experience. From the early 90s on, I have seen tens of thousands of Jewish people, Scott, hear and respond to the gospel, to the message that Jesus, Yeshua, is their Messiah. We're living in an incredible period in history where the blindness is coming off of the eyes of the Jewish
Amen.
People. And Romans 11 says that means the Messiah's return is near.
Amen. Yeah, you know, when we look at the book of Romans and Romans 1:16, even as you pointed out, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to all those who believe, to the Jew first. To be honest with you, Jonathan, it was only recently that the Lord opened my own Jewish eyes to the importance of witnessing and going to the Jewish people first. For me, I didn't even care about the Jewish people. As a Jewish believer, I can't believe that I'm even saying that. But for so long, I had no grid for Israel or the Jewish people. I wonder how many people in churches today ever hear Romans 1:16 preached with the very important ending on it, to the Jew first. Do you think that that literally means that we're supposed to go to the Jew first?
I think, Scott, that that is a biblical precedent that continues to be true. It's not a fact of history that it began with the Jewish people. It is God's key to the nations and a just as Genesis 12:1-3.
Yes.
I will bless those that bless Israel is in effect today. So is the precedent that the gospel is to the Jew first. Now, our ministry is very clear that it's not to the Jew only. We reach
right.
many more people that aren't Jewish than are Jewish, but it's to the Jew first. I like to say it this way. If you're fishing for salmon, you don't throw back a tuna. But so we reach many, many more not people who are not Jewish in our outreaches, but we go to the Jew first. And I believe that as the church understands this, it's what I call the missing link of missiology, that it's going to bring about, as Romans 11:15 says, life from the dead. Their rejection brought the gospel to the Gentiles. Their return brings life from the dead. I really, really believe that is a true precedent that will result in incredible things.
Well, that's incredible because, interestingly, the Jewish people and the nation of Israel, since its inception, have been marked and targeted as a people and a nation in the crosshairs of annihilation of their enemies. There's no other nation on this planet and no other people group that have been the source of more persecution or the source of more of their enemies coming against them to see them eliminated. What would you attribute that to? And it certainly, as one of our previous guests said, it seems to be beyond human understanding.
Beyond human understanding, Scott.
Yeah.
I would also say that the Jewish people are the only people in the world that for almost 2,000 years, with no homeland, with no common language, because they weren't speaking Hebrew. Hebrew was as a restored language, were able to survive and actually prosper without assimilating.
Mm.
The answer to your question, though, is one word, God.
Yes.
Jeremiah says, as long as the sun shines by day and the moon and stars by night, this is Jeremiah chapter 31, Israel will not cease to be a nation before me. Only if those decrees vanish will Israel cease to be a nation. So when you look up and see the sun and the stars by night, they are visible signs that God has sovereignly and supernaturally preserved the Jewish people. The Amalekites are gone, the ites of history, the Jebusites
yes.
and the other ites are gone, but the Israelites remain simply because God decreed in his word that he would preserve them sovereignly, and he has.
Amen. Well, on the other side of the break, which is coming up in just about 30 seconds, we're going to talk just briefly about Hanukkah before we let you go. Friends, I really want to encourage you. This season is a season where we are commemorating God's miraculous power over the Jewish people, because as Jonathan says, he has preserved us, and he has preserved us because he's a God who keeps his promises and shows mercy to 1,000 generations. So whatever it is that you're walking through, even in this Hanukkah season, I want to encourage you, if God has made a promise to you, hang on to those promises, because he is faithful and he is true to keep his promises. On the other side of the break, we're going to hear more from Jonathan Burness. We encourage you, if you want to call in, there'll be a couple of minutes at the end of this broadcast to take your calls. Thank you for listening to Line of Fire today, and Merry Chanukah.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I believe in miracles. This is Scott Volk, sitting in for Dr. Michael Brown today. I believe in miracles because we're celebrating the Feast of Dedication. We're celebrating Hanukkah. And not only are we celebrating Hanukkah, but you're listening to two Jewish men who now serve Messiah Jesus, whose eyes have been miraculously opened to the saving power of Yeshua, our Messiah. Jonathan Burness, thanks so much for joining us for these last few minutes.
My pleasure, Dr. Volk. My pleasure.
I love Dr. Volk. So we got about 5 minutes before I've got to let you go. What would you say is the main theme of Hanukkah that our listeners should grab a hold to?
Easy, one word, miracles.
Miracles.
It's about it's a story of miracles. The first miracle is God preserving the people of Israel, giving them victory over a much larger, better equipped army. That's a miracle.
Yes.
And then the miracle of the oil lasting for 8 days. It's just a continuation of a miracle-working God performing miracles to preserve his people, and you have the modern state of Israel today, which is a modern miracle, Scott. The Arab armies, the day after Israel declared their statehood, really believed that it would just be a week. Within a week, this whole thing would be over, and they would destroy this fledgling nation. And look at Israel now. 75 years later, over 75 years later, they just continue to survive and prosper. So Hanukkah is the story of miracles, and the modern state of Israel is the story of an ongoing miracle.
Incredible. Incredible. Now, you guys, if I'm not mistaken, Jewish Voice produced a film called The Miracle of Israel. Is that right?
We did, and it's continuing to run on secular stations around the country, ABC, CBS, NBC, and this was a real miracle, Scott, that Leonard Nimoy agreed, remember Spock, Live Long and Prosper.
Live Long and Prosper.
Eventually agreed to narrate it. So he's the narrator of this special called Miracle of Israel, and it basically lays out the four miracles, the miracle of the restoration of Israel as a nation, the miracle of the return of Jewish people from the four corners of the earth, the miracle of what is now a movement, a growing movement to rebuild the temple, and the miracle of messianic expectation that believing Jews, or rather Orthodox Jews, are expecting the Messiah to come, and they're crying out, "We want Messiah now."
Amazing.
And of course, we, Scott, who know Yeshua, know that he is the Messiah of Israel as well as the Savior of the world. Isn't it good to know him?
It is amazing to know him, and it's really a miracle. For people who want to get in touch with Jewish Voice and support what you're doing around the world, how can people connect with you?
We have a website. It's an easy address, jewishvoice, one word, .org, jewishvoice.org.
is probably the easiest way. And Scott, we have a great need. It's not a financial need, it's a people need. We need people that will come on a one-week outreach with us. It's just 1 week of your life to reach these Jewish communities in places like Zimbabwe and Ethiopia. And we're talking about people that have never been to a dentist or a doctor before, and they're wide open to the gospel. So you don't have to be a doctor, a dentist, or a healthcare professional. If you'll give up 1 week of your life, God will use you like he's never used you before and change you in the midst of using you. It's an awesome experience.
Wonderful. For people who want to know more about the medical outreaches or any other publications like the Miracle of Israel, they can go to jewishvoice.org. Is that right?
Jewishvoice.org, and they can find everything if work their way through the site.
And for people who want to see your handsome face on television, how do they know, how can you tell them how to find you, and when is Jewish Voice on the air?
We're on most of the Christian network, so it's just a matter of looking at your guide if you're on DirecTV or Dish or cable stations. We're on at various times. And Scott, as I mentioned earlier, we're in process of going to a daily program, which is
wonderful.
A big step for us. And I hope we'll be on before or after your program.
Well, I'm believing that my program will be on. See, the difference between you and me, as you said from the outset, we both did work with Jewish Voice, except when I got promoted, I only got promoted to the level of second in command in the mailroom, where you have become president and CEO. So the more like you I can become, the happier I will be.
Well, I'm expecting, I believe God's called you to do this, and we need more messianic programming on Christian television and radio. So,
amen.
Dr. Volk, go to it.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. Lord bless you. I love you. And thank you for the work that you do and Jewish Voice does around the world.
God bless you, Scott.
God bless you, too. Friends, thanks so much for listening in today. I want to give you four very, very brief points that I want to boil our day down to where the Feast of Dedication is concerned. The one thing that the Jewish people were asked to do in 165 AD was to assimilate into the society, that if they simply took on Greek culture and Greek learning, they no longer observed the Sabbath, that they would live peacefully. But I'm so thankful for men and women who were not willing to take the easy road, but who would preserve Judaism and the faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here are my four points in closing. Dr. Brown usually does a bottom line. Is that what they call it, bottom line? Here are my four points. I'm going to give you four bottom lines because I'm not as smart as Dr. Brown, and I can't boil it into one. Number one, we must have a holy discontentment for our current situations. Friends, God is looking for men and women who will cry out to Him in their current states, and God is faithful to answer the cry. The Bible says, I cried to the Lord, and He heard my voice and delivered me. Friends, cry out to God. He will hear, and He will answer. Point number two, we must refuse the delicacies and pleasures of this world. Let's not be like those who take the easy road out and simply meld in and assimilate into society, but we be a people who love not the world so that we can love the Lord who saved us and who came to save the world. Point number three, we must be willing to give our lives for the sake of the gospel. Judah Maccabee was not willing to go down without letting God be king and Lord, even at the threat of death. And point number four, we must see with eyes of the Spirit. Friends, God is looking for men and women today who will not look at the opposition as giants, but will look as the God who created them and is faithful to keep them. In the same way that He keeps Israel, He will keep you. May the Lord bless you, and may your Hanukkah and Christmas season be filled with the fact that God came, He died on the cross, He was resurrected, and He lives today to give you abundant life.